Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the weekly conversation. My thing says Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. I have celiac and I had a really rough day yesterday, so I postponed it till today, folks. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't heard the news, I want to get into this. The DACA decision that Trump did, they've already got 15 states saying they're going to sue and they're going to block it. They're going to prevent it. Oh, Lord help them. Texas hit by Harvey. And now Irene is coming to Florida. And when is Melissa going to hit? When do they get to the M's? When is she going to attack? We'll find out. Yes, my producer might actually become a hurricane. If her name is selected, I don't know. So that's kind of how it goes. I also want to get into the U.S. and North Korea and the U.K. and all that stuff with Nikki Haley and things she said. Because, you know, at some point, you know, we're going to end up with this. If they attack us first, Trump didn't do enough. But if Trump attacks first, oh, look, another Republican, another war. Ooh, you know, he can't win no matter what he does. I also want to get into this teacher in Georgia who has schools attacking because take that shirt off, turn it inside out because it has Make America Great on it. And that offends me because that's basically the swastika. That slogan, you know, he's Hitler. He's Hitler. Okay, well then, let me see. You want to know how many times Bill Clinton said Make America Great? Like 5 million? Oh, but it's okay. You know, see, if Bill Clinton said it, so what's America supposed to say? Flush America down the toilet again? I mean, really? With Irene, Governor Rick Scott of Florida is already calling a, you know, disaster area. And also, I had to talk to my boy Craig over the weekend because I needed someone to talk to because he's the only one that can probably get it, as most of you already know by now. Walter Becker, the guitarist Stevie Dan died, and we're both huge. I love his music, and my friend Craig is a big time fan of his, and I had to break the news to him. I had to be, he called me Deacon Blues because I had to be the bearer of bad news, and he's like, it's Sunday, it's the day of the Lord, I shouldn't have to, you know. I'm like, yeah, trust me. That much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of, folks, because I hope it's not just about me, and I hope it's about more than just me. And Corinthians 1:27, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Think about that as you're kind of going through your conversation evening, whenever you listen. You know, because it's not just about me. It's not just about my producer, my wife. It's about more than this. Trump. Okay. This is not, I'm going to repeat some things. And when I say repeat, folks, this is not coming from me. This is coming from an old lady who was in Germany during pre-World War II, before Hitler. You know what she said? You know what they were doing in Germany? Hail Hitler! Hail Hitler! Hail Hitler! They weren't saying Germany, Germany, Germany. They were hailing Hitler. Just like those goons and those mindless morons in Chicago when Obama got elected. Obama, Obama. It brought her nightmares because she saw the same thing happening over again. Somehow, when we're chanting USA, 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 somehow Trump is a Nazi. Trump ain't a Nazi. See, the problem you have here, folks, is you have people on the left who don't care, don't want to know, don't know anything. Trump is a Nazi. I don't care. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't care. La, 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 la. I don't care. Stop. No, he's a Nazi. I don't care. Don't talk to me. I don't care. I don't know anything. I haven't studied anything. I don't know. I'm being paid to say Trump's a Nazi. That's what I believe. I don't care. You're never going to tell me he's a Nazi. He's not. I don't care. He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. I don't care. He's not. I don't. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. No matter what you tell them, no matter what you say, no matter what they hear, no matter what, he's a Nazi. Make America Great Again. That's a Nazi. That's a swastika. Okay. Well, I'll be going there. See, that teacher couldn't have me in that school because I'd be like, okay, well then don't tell me you like Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton because they both used that phrase. Have you called Bill Clinton a Nazi? Because he uses that phrase too. So, and if you're going to make me take this shirt off, I'll be calling my dad and he will, and I guarantee you, if I get a hold of my dad, if I take this and turn the shirt inside out, you're going to be fired, guaranteed. I'll make sure you are fired. I will not rest until you are fired. Whatever I have to do to make sure you lose your job, that's what's going to happen. You got a choice. And, you know, because that's what's happened in Georgia. There's video of it now of a teacher going off on a kid because two kids have Make America Great Trump shirts. Oh, it's not because of Trump. They could have Trump on there because it says Make America Great. That resembles a swastika. Are you freaking kidding me? And the school's apologizing all this. I'm like, you can apologize. Yeah, if you fire her, I might accept the apology. If you make her lose her job. But when I grew up in school, I don't remember kids wearing. In our school, we didn't have kids that wore like Clinton stuff or Bush stuff. There were kids that, oh yeah, Bill Clinton's the best. I'm like, I don't talk about it at school. I don't care either way, you know. I never really, like, okay. So no. Which one do you like? And I'm like, I'm not sorry. This is school. This is not politics. This is art class. And I voted for Michael Jordan. That's who I voted for. Really? Come on. I just give him crap. Because, I mean, and that was only one time. Yeah, we never did. We never had kids coming to school with, like, Reagan shirts or hats or... Well, as you know, Trump on hold, basically, the DACA. So, if you're an illegal and you come to this country with kids, they can stay in this country. They're undocumented. Who knows where they're from? Who knows what they have? Who knows who they are? They're allowed to stay here. How is that right? Let's just smuggle in a bunch of kids. Oh, they have to stay here. How dare you turn these kids back? Well, you want to know how many thousands of kids come here that are smuggled through cartels? It's not a free ride. Okay, it's $10,000 a person to get up here, and if they can't pay the debt, then they're threatening their families back in Mexico. You know, they're imprisoned until they can pay off that debt, whether it's in a sex slave trade or whatever the case. You know, no one talks about the good of this. Yeah, there's 1% of people that might come over that, yeah, but 90% of them are illegally brought over here. Because that used to be the big thing. You bring him over here illegally, and oh, we're going to go vacation in America so that when my wife, right, when my wife's pregnant, so that she can have the baby. And since it's, she had the baby in the States, it's an American and it can stay here legally. The loopholes. The bullcrap. And it gives Congress 6 months to come up with a replacement. And there's already like 15 states. Oh, we're suing. Oh, this is, oh, yeah, we've got 25 judges. We're going to sue. Yeah, we're going to get, we're going to have this thing shut down tomorrow. This bullcrap. We're going to pay off some judge who's going to go against the law, you know, because this can't happen. We can't have no. Oh, and then I'm the a-hole heartless guy because I don't want to have an undocumented person in this country. It's bad enough you get people that come here on a student visa to do studies. And then, okay, 6 years later, they haven't left this country. Who knows where they are, what they're doing. And how do you even know they're a student? They could be going to Purdue to learn how to fly a plane so they can fly it into a building. 9/11. You know? Sorry, folks, but there are some bad folks in this world. You know? I look at it like this. I think that if you're for these people coming, if you're for, like, if you're against the wall, and you don't want the wall, then you should not be able to have locks on your doors. Because if you don't want to have a lock on this country to say who we let in this country and who we don't, then why do you have a lock on your door? What's the difference? Now, what it is it's amazing how many people, when you talk to them, oh, I'm against these travel bans. And when you talk to them, well, let's have a party at your place. We'll just bring some people from... No, man, I want to, how do I know that they're safe? How do I know? No, wait, this bullcrap. I want to make sure that the people coming to my house to hang out are good people. They're not going to steal crap. I've had friends that have parties that they noticed stuff missing. People would steal stuff. Man, I want to bet. I want to like check the people out, make sure they're cool before I let them in my house. Well, don't you want to do the same for America? Oh, yeah. Oh, so you want to vet people. Well, you're marching against it. Hello? That tells you they don't know what they're talking about. They're just there, mindless. Okay, folks, here's your check. And here's a pamphlet. This is what we're protesting today. You may not understand it or whatever. Just chant what this says on here and try to ignore any interviews from anyone that, because we know you don't know what you're talking about, and you're just here getting paid to riot and do whatever. Mind you, if you go to jail, we won't bail you out. We won't help you. We don't care. You know, you're like the black guys in South Park on Operation Human Shield. If you saw the South Park movie, you'd understand. Trump is so bad, why don't you let... See, the problem you have here is if someone goes, you actually like Trump? I said, well, yes, I do. How can you support that racist person? I said, well, how can a black person support the Democratic Party? And he said, excuse me? And I said, okay, well, hear me out here. Who formed the KKK, the Democratic Party? Who was 100% against freeing the slaves, Democratic Party? Who was 100% against segregation? No, they wanted segregation, the Democrats. Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl. She supported Barry Goldwater, who wanted to resegregate America. Who didn't want to give the blacks rights? The Democrats. But blacks vote for them over and over and over and over again because they believe they're going to be given crap. Stuff's going to be handed to them. These people don't know what they're talking about. I support Trump because, go back, there's videos on YouTube where Donald Trump said the same thing on Larry King Live in 1986 as he's saying right now. He hasn't changed his tone. Hillary Clinton was against gay marriage. Now she's for it. She was, you, there were Democrats with AK-47s and Humvees with 50 cals on there with gunners ready to kill anyone that's going to take down one of those statues or take down the Confederate flag above South Carolina's state house. soon as it became seen as racial or bad, oh, they were the first ones to, I'll cut it down, I'll take it down right now. They instantly flipped their tone. For the people that were fighting to keep it up, now all of a sudden, oh, all these blacks don't want it up. Oh, now we got to switch tones, okay? I mean, I wonder if they have like a, and their cell phones, Democrats have a thing where, okay, today we got to be against the Confederate flag all of a sudden because, you know, we need to get votes. And I'm not saying Democrats are the only ones that Republicans do that too sometimes. It's not a one-party system. We're not in the situation we're in because Barack Obama only. There's this, like Morgan Freeman said, you want to stop racism? Quit calling me a black man, I'll quit calling you a white man or Jew or whatever. Where's the Jewish History Month? Where's the Irish History Month? Because someone, and I'm going to watch the whole video tomorrow, they sent me a video where it's kind of like, well, you know, like black people would live longer if they had the same medical treatment as white people. And this is a white guy saying it, and these were medical journals and all this stuff. And I want to see at the end of this video if there's anything throughout the video where they talk about anything other than whites or blacks. If they talk about Koreans or Native Americans or Asians or Japanese. If it's just, well, look at, you know, the black versus the white, if there's anything else. Because, let me tell you, I've lived in other places. Now, I lived in Vermont. And when I lived in Vermont, it was about 20 years ago, so about my age, 42, there was about 100 people plus that they had this whole apartment complex that they designed for these people to live in so they could live on their own, but they had someone check on them. So it was sort of like a group, it was sort of like an apartment complex that was built for like, it was like a group home kind of where you can have your own place, but they would have someone come in and make sure you're doing your laundry and helping out because they were all about the same age and they were all like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They were all like MOMH, like very, like they were any worse and they probably couldn't live on their own. In that apartment, and they were all, you know, but you had them do dishes, and they were great workers. I'm not disrespecting anyone. I have a disability. I have a myopathy, so let's get that out there. You know, I'm not putting anybody down, but they were all, and we always wondered, what was it? Something in the water? What happened that? Like there were all these people that were all like mentally retarded, like beyond. And it was sad. And we're like, what could have caught? I mean, we're like, you know, but they were the greatest people. I mean, they worked their butt off. They always called you by name. Kyle, how you doing? What's up? Not much. You doing the dishes today? Yeah, I'm your dishwasher, man. And you had to, you know, and they knew what dishes we did and what dishes they did. So that, because there were some people that tried to get them to do the dishes that they were supposed to be doing themselves. But, you know. But I want to see if in this video, if there's more than just a simple, well, look at all these blacks and if they had the treatment that white people had, you know, the white privilege treatment, you know, we get better care and all this stuff. And because I remember watching a video where, because there was a group called Public Enemy and they did a song called 911's a joke, and if you're a black, they would respond late or not at all or whatever and all this stuff. And when Flavor Flav needed the called 911 and needed help, there was debate whether they should have even helped him because of what he said about. And I'm like, well, I'm sure if you go to Compton, Watts, or South Central, or New York, or something, I'm sure in those rural areas, there are people that are coming to take care of you that are black. I'm sure it's not only white people. And they say, that's only blacks. We're not going to help them. And if that's the case, they shouldn't be there. Like that cop that sat there and arrested that nurse because she wouldn't follow HIPAA guidelines. She was following HIPAA guidelines and wouldn't allow him to draw blood because she was doing her job. That cop's a power trip. He's been fired. You know, my point being, if in a black, in a rural community, you're not getting help, then they're not doing their job right. But at the same time, this one guy told me this, and I said this to this kid. I said, also, if these Black Lives Matter people and these Antifa people and all these anti-Trump protesters, if you're going to, why protest Trump? If they took all their energy and instead of protesting Trump, went to their neighborhoods, went to their communities and made it better and said, you know what? Let's go work in a soup kitchen. Let's make our community great. If you think Obama's not going to make America great and he's going to make it worse, then why don't you do something to try to make it great? Why don't you try to go to your own community? How was standing there with the sign saying, Trump is a newsie. Trump's a newsie. Trump's a newsie. If you get the South Park joke, Trump's a Nazi. How is that solving anything? It's not. That's what I call any liberal, any Antifa people, or any Black Lives Matter that might be listening, which is probably not many, but if there are any, why aren't you in your soup kitchens? Why aren't you doing something? Now, if you are a Black Lives Matter person and you're going to Chicago and you're marching against the black-on-black crimes and you're standing up against violence of all kinds, that's a whole different ballgame, because at least you're recognizing that all Black Lives Matter. It's not, you may not be focusing on all matter, all lives, but at least you're not just trying to focus on the white cop that kills the black person. Oh, we don't care about anything unless it's a white cop killing a black cop. Then we get all pissed off. And I want to get into this because I saw a thing. This is years ago that they've looked at soil samples and stuff. This is around like after Katrina, and they said like for every one hurricane they have now, you go back like 1,000 years, there'd be like 5 or 6. And the hurricanes aren't even as strong as they used to be and all this. And Irene's going to buckle down and hit Florida and stuff. And I have some Tammy's in Florida, so I hope she's buckling down. And I hope she heeds the warnings when they say leave, go. I wouldn't want to hear that word, you need to leave. I hope I'm gone before that happens. I hope I'm in my car, loaded, on the highway. But that's just me. I'm an Eagle Scout, so I'm taught to be prepared. But then, I can go up to see my friends in Michigan and stuff, my family and stuff in Michigan, and I'll go there like I'm backpacking in the woods, and I'm going to have, no food or anything for, 10 days. Because I pack, I know where I'm going, I'm like, it's no big deal because I'm right there and I can go down the street and I'm at Meijer, Walmart, Aldi's, but I always pack like I'm going backpacking in Philmont and I have, gotta make sure everything's unscented, gotta make sure I got my rope so I can tie my food in the tree so the bears can't get at it and this and that. Because I had all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'll use this soap up, instead of scented, nope. Well, yeah, it's scented, it's polo, I just want to use it up, nope, can't take this, can't take that. But I'm always prepared like that. But I guess I read an article where I don't like the Red Cross. Like when the earthquake happened in Haiti, they raised like $9.6 billion, and good luck finding out where the money went, because I forget, they built article, I think it was a ridiculous, 6 homes or something. Because somebody went down to Texas and they went and delivered burgers and all this stuff. And yeah, we're taking our time, our plane, our money, our fuel, our gas, and all this stuff to get some burgers and help out. And the Red Cross refused the donation and all this. Now, I can understand if the Red Cross came out and said, well, due to food safety issues and this and that, we need to have stuff that's pre-made or in a facility, and if it's in a restaurant, whatever, if there was some legal reason why they couldn't do it, but then the legal reason would have been bull crap, because I would have kicked some butt, because I would have still went and done something. I was still like, okay, well then, if you won't take it, then I'll find someone who will. And I would be going, and I guess she's gone viral with the fact that they refused her donation and all this, and don't donate money to them, don't accept money. And it said something about like in the $9.6 billion was raised for Katrina, not Katrina, but for the earthquake victims in Haiti, and they didn't even, like, they built like 6 homes or something, like hardly, like they wanted to know where the money went and all this. And see, but we have America. We can choose where we donate. I would just call up some of my friends in Texas and say, hey, I'm going to FedEx you some money. I want you to give you some money, and you give it out to people that can use it. You know, whatever. You know, you know who's the real deal. Yes, the United Nations Security Council, as I move on, Ambassador Nikki Haley made it clear that North Korea's threats will be dealt with. You know, the United States does not want war. We don't want it, but our patience is not unlimited, you know. And like I said at the top of the hour of the program, I said this. If someone needs to get on the mainstream media and say this, okay, so what do we do? Because I can tell you right now, you're going to go ballistic if North Korea attacks us first. You're going to say, why didn't Trump be more proactive? Why didn't he do something? But if Trump is proactive and does something ahead of time to prevent North Korea from doing anything, he is going to sit there and be like, see, another Republican, another war. Here we go. And that's where we're at. He can't win. But it wouldn't matter anyways, because even if they did do that, you know, there's no I told you so with the liberal media, because they don't care. It's all fake news anyways. I mean, Julia Davis, who's an actor who's worked with Tom Cruise and many others, she's been in the business for years. She was on Fox and Friends. She came out as, hey, I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative, folks. Yes, that's right. You heard it. Julia Davis is a conservative. I want freedom. I want capitalism. I want to have choice. I want to have opportunities for myself. Hollywood is massively progressive. Like, massively, massively progressive. That's just how it is. I mean, they're most of them are one step away from wanting socialism. That's how Hollywood is. I want to have freedom in this country. You know, whatever I do, I want to be able to do something with my life and know that, and not feel like, okay, guess what, folks? I pay $800 a month so I can have health insurance, but I can't afford to go to the doctor because I don't have money left. Most people with health insurance in today's world, it's like having your choice. You can either have a driver's license or a car. You can't have both. So if you have a driver's license, what good does it do you if you can't have a car? Well, what good is having a car if you can have a driver's license? I know so many people that have health insurance, but they can't afford to use it. But that's how this world is. And you have an actor, Julia Davis, I love you, for coming out and being who you are. And having a backbone. And saying, I respect that you're liberal. I respect that you're progressive. But she is getting raked over the coals because she is a conservative. But that's how it's going to work. That's how this, I don't get it. See? Like the song said from Supertramp, they call me radical, a liberal. No, now it's a radical conservative. I support Joy Davis. I grew up in a day when we had grandparents that took candy cigarettes that we had and they lit them for us with a real lighter. And we survived. Not now. You mean they make candy cigarettes? How dare those. I mean, I went to a girl's birthday party and they handed out like a booklet that was about God and Jesus. And they read from the booklet at the birthday party. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm expecting to have cake and ice cream and play games. And there's a book on scripture. It was like a little pamphlet, and it was cool because I was Catholic, so I was a believer. Oh, it is, you know. We didn't sit there and go, how dare they want to push the religion on us? Since it was about Jesus Christ, and it was, I think they were like Protestants or Methodists or whatever, it's cool. You know, as long as it was about Jesus Christ, I didn't care. Kind of how it is. One of these things that I grew up in a different age. I grew up in a different age, you know, when now it's like, okay, well, I mean, and I'm sure I've talked about this before, but, you know, we had what were called witch whistles. They were bio rockets without the stick on the end. And you just lit them and they would go anywhere. Nope, can't have those now. I mean, can't have that. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. You know, I've heard, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the things that now you have to do. You have to label peanut butter saying, warning, it contains peanuts. If you're a clown, you have to say that the balloons contain latex because someone might not realize that and have one made for their kid and whoops, they're allergic or something. Who knows? It's ridiculous the times we live in, and we have an actor like Julia Davis that wants to have freedom from all this. And, you know, you got to have laws. You know, Luis Palau says to Solana Kayla, where this teacher went in his classroom, she goes, what would the world be like with no laws? That's great. Well, not really. It'd be chaos. Total chaos. We got to have some rules. But at the same time, you got to have... Yeah, we going back to this a long time ago, and I love what he did when he goes, here's the line, and in the middle of it's the Constitution. Okay, far right is no law at all. Far left is North Korea. Total government control of every single thought, everything you do, read, breathe. So how do you do that? Where do you go? You know, where do you want to be on that scale? And that's kind of where I look at things and I view things. And so, and you have all these people that want the government to control everything. I have friends in other countries that trust their government. I don't. I'm sorry, I don't trust my government. I'm not going to. No, thank you. But that's how we live in this world, where I don't trust my government. Now, some people might, and that's okay. I just choose not to trust my government, you know. I'm a conservative like Nikki Haley. I'm going to have limited government. I support capitalism, you know. You know, if I want to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to start a store and I'm going to sell razor products because I believe in safety razor shaving or Dovet, you know, like straight razor shaving or a Shavette where you put a disposable blade and you shave like a straight razor. I want to be able to do that with limited regulation. I don't want to be regulated out of starting it. I want to thank you all, as I said, for tuning in. And if y'all don't, most of you already know this, but over the weekend, we lost a great guitarist, Walter Becker, Steely Dan. And I kicked myself for not paying the money to go see him when I had the opportunity. I wish I would have done it. I really, because he was amazing. When I grew up, when I was in high school, I'd sit there and I'm like, oh, that's Steely Dan. Okay, yeah, that's okay. So, wow, some of the first stuff I remember growing up as a kid, that was Rush and Led Zeppelin and Steely Dan and the Grateful Dead. And I could put names to faces. Okay, that song, that's Steely Dan. Okay, that's Steely Dan. That's, you know, and I used to belong to BMG and they would have like 99, like $1.99 CDs. And you had to buy a bunch of them to get the deal really good because of the shipping. They'd break you over the coals. But when they'd have like $1.99 for CDs, I'd get a bunch of them. And I got a decade of Dan because I had a bunch of Steve Dan CDs. But when I left a bunch of stuff at Vermont, they got left there. And a very long story, but I think I wore that CD out. I'm on my second edition of the CD because I burned the thing out because I listened to it over and over. It's just amazing. And as soon as I heard, because I saw it, because I knew there was a fight. They claim, oh, is there a falling out between Walter Becker and Donald Fagen and all this stuff? I'm like, no. Walter Becker was having some health issues, and I'm like, he's going to get over this. And as now we know, because I saw it on Facebook, and he died. I'm like, oh, this is fake. This has got to be fake. And I went right to Yahoo, and I said, Walter Becker. And I clicked on it, and it comes up, and it goes, you know, his publicist has just announced moments ago that guitarist and co-founder of Steely Dan has died. I just got kicked in the nuts. Because it's like someone that I grew up listening to, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are like this. I don't know if my wife is too much, but I can put in an album and listen to it, and I can tell you how it helped me get through a part of my life, how I can relate to this music, how a Third Day song even, or a Chris Rice song, or a Christopher Cross song helped me through my life. You know, and same thing with Steely Dan. I can remember hearing his music and just like amazing, and just like another, he was just amazing. And his music, when you could understand it, and it had a meaning and a message, and you know, and you could say, okay, this is amazing. I get it. I understand what they're trying to say and what they're trying to convey. So, and it's just, and I knew one person would get it, and I had to be the bearer of bad news, and I had to be Deacon Blues, and I had to, I wrote Craig, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, Walter Becker's passed. He was 67. They haven't got a cause of death yet, but, and he's just like, oh, like kind of mad, because, like, he didn't need to hear that, but. Like, he's like, yeah, and he goes, wow, I'm just, not mad at me, but just like, oh, like, how, you know, like, and he goes, I know he's going to be, and like, almost 90% of what I played that day was Steely Dan. I was just playing, just like, just bringing back the memories, man. That's what music, that's what it does. I mean, I can put in a dead song from a tour, and I can say, oh, I can tell you where I was at Deer Creek in 95, and you know, and it was just amazing. So, And it was just nice to have someone to talk to and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And this is, you know, and I said, you know, it's just, but hey, you know, I know life goes on and, you know, God, you got another good one. You know, I would always joke, you know, why haven't you taken Justin Bieber yet? But he's a Christian and I support him 100% for his belief and coming out and speaking out about his belief publicly. So I'm starting to become a fan of him, not necessarily his music, but him as a person, you know. Because there are people like Bruce Springsteen makes great music, but his views and his political stuff is like he should be hung for. It makes no sense, you know. Like Bon Jovi, his music sucks, but he is a great person. That's how, you know, I mean, there's...
No, Bon Jovi's music does not suck.
And sort of like me, you know, when I had my DNA done. I'm half Asian from... And I'm half... Yeah, one of my guys at work said that, and I about... You can guess what the bottom half would be. If you're a genius up here, the bottom half would have to be, and I'm sure I'm going to get flack for that one, but hey, it's all in fun, you know, because I have friends that get it. When I have a guy at work, he goes, my favorite rapper is Eminem. Why? Because he is amazing. Color has nothing to do with it. There are rappers that suck that are black, and he understands it, that race doesn't matter. But that's how it goes, folks. In the circle of life, folks. Now that we don't have Walter Becker, we need to get somebody else that can replace him that is good. And I'm going to move on because I'm in a good mood this weekend. I am impressed because... And I've posted and I've commented on this. I belong to, and I'm going to do this, but this is one thing. I belong to VOLE. It's like a European football, like mainly Premier League, kind of like a Twitter thing where you have an account and you can post like polls and what you think about this or that. And you can talk with like-minded people from all over the European football and like mainly a lot of the English Premier League. And I've always wanted to wonder this. Okay, you take Sir Alex Ferguson, or you take Jose Mourinho, or you take Zinedine Zidane, or you take one of those managers, or any top flight manager. And you say, okay, let's take Chelsea's manager and have them without changing the squad, not adding players, but let's say take Newcastle United and manage that team. Could he make them a better team? Could he take West Ham United or Crystal Palace or one of those teams that's at the bottom of the relegation zone without changing the players or the team, not adding any players? Could he turn them around and get them into the top 10 or 9th or 8th place? Is it the player that's really good, or is it the manager? Because we have a very, very, very mediocre team at Purdue. And the coach that they have now, Jeff Brohm, at Purdue University, he impressed me incredibly. Incredible. This is American football. This, you know, this is college. I am impressed immensely with what he did with that team. They held on and almost beat a top 25 team with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. See, I'm one of those, when I always had the football games, I'm like the Nintendo or Super Nintendo or whatever, I always did the flea flickers. I always did the fake punts and field goals and what the heck. I mean, if it didn't work out and I was going to lose, I'd just shut the thing off and do something else. It's not like I was getting paid. I always did like the fake field goals and this and that. And one of them, I figured out that if you set this setting to here and this to here and the power to here, you can kick the ball just far enough to where your one player would always pick it up and you could run it in for a, so I could, and then it got to the point where I think the computer figured out what I was doing and then it wouldn't allow it because it would kick it further no matter what I did and it wouldn't allow it. And, but I was always that guy that did all the fake and kicking and fake field goals and faking all this stuff. Cause that's how it is. That's how I was, you know, cause I remember when Notre Dame and Michigan State played and I'm like, when they faked the field goal and they scored one, I'm like, I always fake field goals. I always did that. Did it work? About 10% of the time, but hey, that 10% was, I'm like, yeah, there you go. I always went for 2-point conversions. Why not? On that site, I want to get a conversation going on that. You know, like, could Alex Ferguson take a West Ham United and turn them around with not change, but just his coaching and just, okay, you have a bad manager. If I you know, it's not you, or is it the, okay, this is, they've got a manager and he's doing his, the best he can. You can't improve him. So I just always wonder that because, I mean, yeah, we didn't get a winger United like we need, of course. And we need depth in the club because we're going to have injuries, folks. That's a given. Every team's going to have injuries. We need to have people to replace. Yes, you have, need to have teams to replace and players to replace. You know, if at Everton, if Rooney gets hurt, you need to have someone to replace him. Or if someone gets hurt, you know, you need to have people to replace, you know, other players. We play Stoke City on Saturday at 12:30 our time in America. It's kind of nice because for the longest time, the games used to be to where I would get up at like 6 in the morning and at 6:30 the game would start. And I'd be like, okay, I'm getting up at 6. Let's have 5 cups of coffee just to get up and get going just so I can watch the game. And then usually during the intermission, I'd fall asleep in the halftime thing and then I'd wake up and, okay, the game's like 5 minutes into the second quarter, and so half, not, you know, it's like, okay. I think we had a really good transfer window. I think we did what we, I mean, we should have gotten more, and I sometimes think it's just the greedy owners that, hey, we want money, we want money. Well, you know what? Get great players. Pack the stadiums, you know, give Mourinho what he wants. And if the team stinks, hey, we gave you who you wanted. You didn't do anything with it. It's not our fault. It's your fault. You're done. You know? I see what Jeff Brom at Purdue did with the players he had. I can't wait till he has his own players. Holy cow. His own recruits. I mean, Alabama better watch out because the Boilermaker train is coming. And it's been a while since Purdue fans have been able to be excited about football. But like I've said before, look at European football. They pack those stadiums. West Ham United will pack that stadium, and they're 20th. If Purdue sucks or if Michigan were doing bad, the stadium wouldn't be that full. Now, on Notre Dame, they will always pack that stadium. They don't care. You know, they have billionaire. I'd love to see a game there, but it'd probably be like $800. I don't know, but it'd be cool just to say I've seen a game there. But it's one of those things that anyone can pack a game. Anyone can pack a stadium. But it's when they stink that when you back the team, that lets them show that you're a true fan supporter. And I think I've said this on the program before. One of my friends used to, a friend I used to know, he worked at Conseco Fieldhouse. No, it was Baker's Life Fieldhouse at the time. And he got like, for, I got like for $30. I got $60 seats for $30, and it's when the Pacers sucked. And we got to go down to like $400 seats, like four or five rows from courtside. Incredible, because no one was there. Oh, these aren't sold. Come on down, man. And I'm like, these are like, yeah. And he goes, you guys are the fan. You guys are here when there's nobody. I'm like, I'll come see the Pacers anytime. I would come down and see a game anytime. And I like it like this because I'm not having to fight 50 million people to see the game. It's, you know, it's not like they're, when they're great and there's like 8 million people trying to get to the game and 7,000 people trying to scalp. And not that I'm a huge NBA fan, but hey, for $30, getting a ticket that was a $60 seat and then getting to sit in $400 seats, you know. What the heck? But as I get back to European football, you know, I think we definitely have a squad that will get us to, I think we can win the Premier League title. It's going to be close. It's going to be a close race either way, but I think we can win the Premier League title. If we get anything past the quarterfinals of the Champions League, that'll be a miracle. And if we get, I think we'll get to the quarterfinals, and that's about it. We don't have the depth of a squad. And when you get down to playing Champions League and Premier League and all these games and having two or three games a week, it's going to start wearing on the team and on the players. And it's something that we just need some depth. And I think I can't wait to see, like, next year when if they play, if I can't wait to see Fosu Mensah and see how he does on loan. That's going to be, it's neat to see some of those, because it sounds to me like he wants to get him some experience playing, but we don't have the room for him. Okay, no, you know, and when he comes back, he's going to be amazing. And there were some times during the preseason that, like, why didn't Mourinho give Fosu Mensah some playing time? These aren't points games. It's just have fun. These are like, screw around and have fun. Change the lineup up. Change the setup up. You know, see, try different things out. Experiment. I've done that before, okay? I'm making a cake. Let's experiment with things. And what I found is if you get, this is a little chef secret there. If you get those little flavor packets, that like they're like the concentrates that, because I know my wife and I know several people, their bodies don't, like if they drink water, there's a lady I work with that can't drink straight water. She has to flavor it somehow. She gets like nauseous if she drinks plain water, but if she adds like those little flavoring packets, and it's great because you can do like orange, make an orange cake, or they have like a lemon one to make like a lemon flavored. Use that and you can flavor the cake to, and you experiment with different things. And you make like little cupcakes. And then, okay, well, and then all you have to do is portion out that to a bigger thing. Okay, well, if it works for this little batch, I just got to portion it out so that it makes this much. That's what as I've got like 3 minutes left, that's what I was hoping I would see more of in that when they did that, like the summer tour, just like experiment. Get Fosu Mensah in there. Get some of these players in there, you know. And I'm glad he got. It's nice to see Lukaku. He was a big shock to me when we got Romelu Lukaku. I didn't. If you would have told me, if someone said $100, they get there. I said, okay, you're on. I'd have put $100. We wouldn't. I never would have thought we'd have got him, but he's on my fantasy team. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get Rooney on mine because I know he's going to play a lot at Everton. As long as he's not injured, they're going to give him playing time. And he might actually score two or three or four goals and help me out. I don't know. We'll have to see. But right now, I just can't get him on my team. Wow. Let me see here. Because I know that there's talk about De Gea is going to leave United eventually to go to go back to Spain. And it's going to be, it's not this year. It might be next year. And I think that will give us time to find someone to replace him, which, you know, I respect him wanting to go back home, but Griezmann from Barcelona with the Spanish Giants. And he might be looking at possibly coming to United in January. Now, this is from, what is this from? I don't know if I, the Bleachers Report, which they're right about 60% of the time. So, I mean, take it for what it's worth. You got to understand a lot of this transfer news, like what is going to happen in like the January transfer window. A lot of it's just, got about 90 seconds left. Let's get people to read this article. And then when it's all said and done, you know. So we'll have to see. I love De Gea. I don't want to see him go, but I mean, he's going to eventually go home. And, you know, and when he does, you know, it'll be okay. My wife, never mind. That's a whole other story. But anyways, he's gonna go to his home. I mean, it's just like all the people like when they got rid of Ruud van Nistelrooy, my favorite player. I'm like, how can they get rid of him? Like when they got rid of Dimitar Berbatov, I'm like, are you kidding me? I wanted to strangle Alex Ferguson with some of the things he did. But hey, it's his team, not mine. And I think I'll leave it with that, folks. And with the firm alliance and the protective divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our fortunes and our sacred honor. Until tomorrow, good night and God bless. Goodbye.